Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's October 9th, episode 762, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Yes, it is hump day. I'm telling you, Glenn, we've got to have that commercial as part of our opener.
The camel? I got to dig it out.
The camel commercial. On YouTube, this is a Progressive or whatever insurance where they're like,
yes,
come on, Mike,
yes.
Mike, what day is it? What day is it? Guess what? It has like 27 million views on YouTube. There's a couple of them collectively. It's insane. So that needs to be our hump day. Anyway, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am back in town from the in-laws' place. Had a great time. I was just telling Glenn, he said, was it good or was it awful? Or some Jennifer did. And I said, it's good because now I have a child to entertain grandma, and when she says, your birthday's coming up, what would you like? I'm like, take the baby, I'm going to get a haircut. So I've got a haircut. That's what I did. Oh, and a pedicure. So I now have these beautiful blue-green toenails and a short kind of, not actually just hair that's cut in some sort of shape. It's amazing. So I had a great,
you know, I'd love to do a survey sometime because I think that horse girls on a higher percentage do not get their hair cut on a regular basis than the general population. Would you agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, I just, the only reason I want to get it cut now is because when I hold the baby, my hair was brushing him in the face. So so out of control. And she was like, "Well, would you like to go to a spa? Where would you like to get a haircut?" I was like, "I get my haircut at home at Fantastic Sam's." So I don't really care. Anybody who's got scissors, you can cut it for all I care.
So, you went to the mall, didn't you? You went to the mall, right?
Went to the mall, and right next to the haircut place was the pedicure place. So I didn't really care. I just like take the baby, walk around the mall. Go ahead, Grandma. I'm gonna sit here with my sister-in-law and get a pedicure. So it was great. We had a great time, and I'm back, and I got good news.
What's that?
Sold my trailer.
Oh, did really? That was pretty quick, actually.
It was. We actually sold it before I left, but it was between shows, so I couldn't tell you guys. I sold it. Okay. All of a sudden, all these people started calling from, like, all over the country. I guess, you know, when you find what you want and it's used, it's really hard to find. We're having the same trouble finding one we want. But when you find what you want, people, like, swarmed all of a sudden. And somebody called and was like, I'm flying in on October 15th. That's as soon as I could get there. And somebody else was like, I'm going to drive, but it's going to take me 6 hours. Guess who bought it? Somebody that lives four streets down. Isn't that crazy?
That's great. I mean, sometimes it takes a long time to sell a trailer like that.
Yeah, well, not in today's market. Everybody wants used ones. You know, everybody wants a used one, but they don't want to pay the new price. So, you know, but we're having, again, the trouble of finding, know exactly what we want. It's just trying to find it somewhere in the country and then worrying about getting it shipped or driving it home. So the fact that this woman who bought it had already been to Colorado and back looking at trailers, and she's like, I cannot believe they just bought one. Why didn't you post this a week before? I would not have had to drive to Colorado.
So apparently you didn't post a really bad ad. It must have been a good ad.
It was actually a good ad. Yeah, well, no, it's because I didn't do it, because Chad did it. He's, like, all educated and stuff.
Jennifer, tell us what's coming up.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, once we have whiled away a 30-minute segment of your life with questionably useful equestrian factoids, we will move into some unquestionably amazing headlines and Glenn's lusciously lip-smacking list. Next up, an announcement from Equitrekking's Darley Newman that will be of interest to adventurous riders all over the United States. And heading over the hump day for Wednesday, the Horse.com Horse Health Report, brought to you by Horseside Vet Guide app, takes on body lameness. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I think there's many days I wake up with body lameness.
Pretty much every day. Hey, before we go on to the Daily Winnies, I just wanted to mention to everybody that a young woman was killed in a tragic accident. Her name is Zoe Ray DiGiovanni, and she passed away in a riding accident 2 days ago. She was from Southern Pines, and her horse fell while they were jumping, and 23-year-old horse, and sadly, she passed away. They do have a memorial service for DiGiovanni scheduled for tomorrow at Moore County Hunter Field Trials, also in Southern Pines. And as a tribute to her, attendees have been invited to arrive on horseback if possible. So if you want to find out any more information, we'll post on our website. They, in lieu of flowers, are accepting donations to her memorial fund. So just very sad, tragic news. A young, beautiful girl was killed riding her horse, and just very sad. And our heart and thoughts and prayers go out to her and her family and all her millions of friends, it seems.
Well, it does remind us on a regular basis how dangerous this sport is, and we just need to be as careful as we can, I guess.
Yep.
Daily Winnie time, but before we do that, give us a call, 347-637-3238. It's time to call in to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. We have lots of great prizes on the wheel this week. So, and last week, I think everyone won. I don't know that we had anybody that didn't win last week. And when you do call in, please press the number 1 when it prompts you, and that'll put you in the queue so Jennifer knows that you're calling in to play the game. So it's 347-637-3238. You just put it in your speed dial on your phone. It should just be there. It should be a contact. So let's do the Daily Winnie. Colleen Peachy, this goes out to you. Colleen, whatever. This goes out to her because she was kind enough to post on our app a good review. She said, love HRN, and the app makes listening even easier. I'm a fan of more than one of the Horse Radio Network shows, and the new app is super easy to download and use. It's not glitzy, just easy to use. Download and listen, period. Thanks, guys. So I want to say, if you're enjoying the app, and I know we've had a lot of downloads this week, hundreds of downloads this week, and I think partly because of Colleen, however you say it, because she somehow got the app into Practical Horseman magazine this week. She did. And so she got it in there, and we've had a lot of downloads this week. So thanks to her. If you're enjoying the app, you can put comments in the App Store. Please do that and give us 5 stars and help us increase our rankings. We would appreciate that. So,
I will.
Yeah, definitely do. It definitely helps, and it helps us get us higher in the rankings. We appreciate it.
I'll write a review like, you know, that one guy on the show is okay, but the girl is fantastic. God, she's so funny. You'll know that was me.
Yes, I'll know that was you.
Well, I hope that our friend Hansen, do you remember the horse Hansen, the white horse who won Preakness, I believe? And
it was like super white, like glowingly
super white.
Yeah.
Glowingly white. His owner got in trouble because they dyed his tail blue, and then they had to wash it out because they were running in Kentucky, and it was just a big mess. Anyway, Hansen, he won the Breeders' Cup. That's what he did. I hope Hansen likes kimchi. And if you don't know what kimchi is, then you need to go to South Korea, which is where Hansen is now going to live. The four-year-old son of Tappet was just purchased by a farm in South Korea. Dr. Kendall Hansen, the sort of flamboyant owner of him, sold him to Ashford Stud at the beginning of the season, and they bought him at the end of this year, and he actually left for Korea yesterday. He says that the government is going full throttle trying to improve their racing industry. They want top bloodlines. And even though it's rare for anybody to buy a stallion in the second year, I guess Coolmore, Ashford Stud, got the numbers were incredibly high. He was actually, Dr. Kendall Hansen was actually pretty sad about it. He said he was like, if I would have known he would have sold him overseas, I would have put that in the contract. I didn't know that they would sell him after one season. He does have the option to buy him back if his foals are really successful or something like that. But he says that he would not have done it himself because of the personal connection he had. But Hansen, his little prize horse, is now living in South Korea, where my husband was stationed for a long time. And I really doubt he could imagine a big horse racing area in South Korea. But good luck to Hansen.
I know a little bit about this. The South Koreans have spent a lot of money hiring consultants. They've hired people from the United States and Europe to help consult on building up their racing program over there and their breeding program. They really want to get heavily into breeding. It's been they haven't been heavy into breeding horses in South Korea in a long time. So they're really trying to make that happen, and they're spending a lot of government money on it, which is what. Not too many countries doing that right now in the horse world. So,
no, definitely not. They already got Rock Hard 10, who was from Lane's End, and Chapel Royal, who stood at Signature Stallions in Florida. So they're importing some big stallion names, but good luck to Hansen. Hope you like kimchi.
Do you think that they do that? You think, like, in India, they're putting curry in the grain? You think that happened?
It's what they eat there. I mean, kimchi is like rotten cabbage and with all sorts of weird spices in it. And I don't know, his little white coat's going to be all coated in red, pasty kimchi.
It's that time of the day.
Time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize, or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have like an old bell boot.
Oh, boy, that is the time. It is the time for the way that this works, Glenn, if you want me to go over it real quick, is we ask you a question. You have 5 seconds, Glenn. They have 5 seconds to answer it because it's not supposed to be Googled. You're supposed to just know it. You have 5 seconds to answer. If you get it correct, you get to spin the wheel and take that prize home. If you don't, you get to hang up and call back next week. Sound good?
Sounds good. 5 seconds, which I stretch to 7.
Yeah. Not today, Glenn. Not today. We're following rules. We follow rules or people die, Glenn. Okay. Who is our first caller?
All right, our first caller up today. Looks like Uta beat everybody in today. So Uta is first up today.
Hey, good morning, Uta. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. I can't believe I'm the first. I missed the beginning of the show.
Yeah, well,
you're here.
You know, the way that it lines up is interesting because not always the first person that calls goes to the – it's some weird blog talk thing, and then so you were at the top of the list today. Whether or not you called first, we don't know. It's just the way that it lines up. It's so strange. We really wish we had any sort of control over this awesome blog talk radio, but we don't. So the sound is going to be like this, and your callers are going to line up how they do. And we just figured that that's the perfect randomness way to take the calls. So, Uta, how are you? How's life? In Washington, Ohio, is it freezing? Is it snowing yet?
Oh, don't talk about snow. We don't want to hear the S word. No, actually, it's been a beautiful week. It's kind of chilly in the morning, but we have nothing but wall-to-wall sunshine.
Well, enjoy it. You've got about a week of that a year. So, I used to live in Ohio. That's I'm a little biased. I hated the weather there, but again, you know, everybody needs something different. So, Uta, what category would you like? I'll tell you what all of them are, and then you can pick your own. We've got alphabet soup for equestrians. Alphabet soup for equestrians. Cat and habit, tack questions, or previously on horses in the morning. What category would you like?
I'll try the alphabet soup. That sounds interesting.
Okay, here we go. What sport's governing body, headquartered in Weatherford, Texas, is abbreviated USTPA?
What was that? USTPA?
Yes.
United States Team Penning Association?
That's right.
Glenn, your bell's a little lame.
I know. It's not feeling well today. It's like I was beating it too hard or something. How'd you know that? I didn't even know that. I was going, USTPA.
Well,
how it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of penning, you know. U.S.
United States Toilet Paper Abbreviation. I don't know.
All right, let's see this. Let's spin the wheel. Let me see here. We're just going to... All right. Wheel is spinning. We do have a crappy prize today. It is another box of crap in my closet because when I was sending out the last box, I found more. So but you didn't get the crappy prize. You got a book called Where Does My Horse Hurt? From Dr. Renee Tucker. We had her on the show not too long ago. It's a hands-on guide to evaluating pain and dysfunction using chiropractic methods. And this is the do-it-yourself book. Tons of pictures. I liked it because it had lots of pictures. And it really does show you how to do your own chiropractic on your own horse.
Awesome.
So that will be sending out to you, Uta. So hold on.
All right. Thank you.
You know, there are not many people I would be comfortable having that book, but I think Uta's enough of a horsewoman to not crack her horse's back in half. And you give me that book, it'd be trouble. You want me to do what?
I do like it. It has tons of color pictures, and it's very explicit. You put your finger here, and you push there. So it is a very good book. It's called Where Does My Horse Hurt? You can buy it on Amazon. And by the way, thank you to everybody who has been using the Amazon link. On our homepage at horsesinthemorning.com, before you buy stuff at Amazon, we actually did very well last month. People bought a lot of different stuff, and when I went in and looked at the stuff they bought, some of it I can't repeat on the air. So we have an interesting listener base that helps support
us. You're
welcome. Thank you, Jamie. Hey, Colleen is actually here. I think it's the same one that I gave my daily win to today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Miss Peachy?
Hello?
Yes.
Could you please tell Glenn how to say your first name?
Well, I usually say Colleen, but either way works. Colleen. It all works.
No, don't give him a green light, Colleen. I'm the one that asked the questions here, okay? It's Colleen.
Okay.
It's like the word hoop. And he says the O's so weird. And it's your name, for God's sake. So it's Colleen. One of my best friends in Georgia, her name is Colleen. And I don't know, some reason it makes me crazy. So,
Colleen,
well,
I actually have to say
my grandmother's been calling me Colleen for years. No matter how many times I say Colleen, she calls me Colleen.
I'm as old as her grandmother, so there.
I was going to say, Glenn, what does that say about you? You and your grandma have something in common. That's awesome.
Hey, Colleen, before we go on, I did want to thank you, if you didn't hear the Daily Whinny, for posting the nice comments on our app in the App Store and giving us 5 stars. We appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely appreciate that. So, all right,
that's
Jamie.
That's fantastic. All right, so, Colleen, would you like alphabet soup for equestrians? Would you like tack and habit? Or would you like previously on Horses in the Morning?
You know what? I think I'm going to try alphabet soup. I kind of caught pieces of the episodes from the past 2 days, so I think I'm going to try the alphabet soup.
Okay, here we go. You have 5 seconds once we ask. In eventing, what do the letters CCI stand for?
CCI. As much
You're
as I love eventing, I'm
too,
not sure.
I'm going to say
Cross Country International. I did that wrong.
You know what? I don't know if I either agree with Jennifer or if I would have gotten this right. CCI stands for, it's basically an international one-day event, and it's Concours International, and she wrote Combine, but I thought it was Complete. So CCI was Concours International Complete. Maybe that's the CIC, and she's got CIC down here. And it's a CCI. So I think her answer was wrong, but it doesn't matter because your answer is totally wrong.
Oh, I knew that. I'm like, as much as I follow eventing, I should actually know what the acronyms stand for, shouldn't I?
Yeah. So I'm gonna say Jen's answer is wrong and mine is right and yours is wrong anyway. So, Colleen, listen, thanks for getting our app and Practical Horsemen and giving you and I would love to give you a prize just for that. So please call back next week.
I will. I will do that.
All right, Colleen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Good to talk to you. Colleen. Have a good day. Bye, Colleen. Lori in New Jersey.
Lori, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Living the dream, Lori. Living the dream. So how is New Jersey? How's everything?
It's actually nice and sunny.
Well, that's nice. That's good to know. So how is everything on the shore? Because I know you guys had some trouble, and I'm worried sick about what's her name that's now on Dancing with the Stars? What's her name? Snooki. I'm worried sick about her.
Because she doesn't have a job anymore?
No, because she doesn't have the shore, because the Jersey Shore had a lot of storms. No, she actually, my mother called me, I got to tell you. I know you hate anything Jersey Shore, but that's what I think of when I hear Jersey now. My mother calls me, she's like, that Snooki is... I think she's really lovely. I think that she, you know, she had a baby, and she says that she really wants to grow up and that she really wants to, you know, get her life together. I'm like, Mom, are you kidding me? Did you buy that? My mom is a Dancing with the Stars junkie. So she's keeping me up to date on everything Snooki. So anyway, sorry, back to this. Would you like alphabet soup for equestrians, tack and habit, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
Alphabet soup, please.
Alphabet soup. Okay, it's our final alphabet soup question. In veterinary circles, what does PCV stand for?
Oh, my. I do not know.
That wasn't it. I do not know.
That was not it. Oh, I'm so sorry. The PCV is, you know, when the doctors are all like, oh, what's this PCV? It's actually packed cell volume. I would not have gotten that either. I can't blame you. it was just one of the tougher ones. It was the final one. So that's the luck of the draw.
I would have gotten the first one right. For USCPA.
Nice.
Oh, you would have gotten that
nice
one right?
Oh, yes.
And you know what I was thinking? We had that guy that called from last couple of weeks that called from Pennsylvania. Wasn't he a team penning guy? He would have got that, right?
Yes, he definitely would have. He's actually one of my friends.
Oh, really? Yeah, he would have been like, I got this one. Well,
nice.
Thank you,
nice.
Lori.
Cool. Oh, thank you
so
much.
Hey, before
call
you go, Lori, can I ask you a question quick? While
sure.
She's talking about it, reminded me, have you been watching Sleepy Hollow? Have either one of you been watching Sleepy Hollow, my new favorite show in the whole world?
No.
Jamie, you don't like scary shows, do you?
Are you asking me if I watch something scary? Definitely not.
No, it's my new favorite show. Anybody out there watching Sleepy Hollow, I'm with you. I just love that show. Okay. Thanks, Lori. Start
all right,
watching.
Thank
good
you.
Show. My new
I watch The Voice. I'm sorry. I love that show. It's just my favorite thing to sit down on a Monday and watch Adam Levine and Blake Shelton and everybody else. It's fun.
Speaking of which, how is Kaley Cuoco's sister doing?
Well, they just finished up the blind audition, so we potentially could see her next week in the battle rounds.
Okay, good. I'm rooting for her. She's the one I'm rooting for. All right, we have Regina in New Jersey. I think we have time for one more, so Regina was next in line.
All right, Regina, cool. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, you know, living the dream, like you said earlier. So we've got to get through this a little quicker, and we are out of alphabet soup questions. So you get either Tack and Habit or Previously on Horses in the Morning.
I'll do the cat one.
The
tack,
what?
Oh, no. Tack. Tack is in
horse
tack,
and
tack like your
yeah,
saddle.
Like in,
oh, Tack. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah, I'll do that one.
What is your barn cat's name? No, just kidding.
Thelma and Louise are so cute.
Thelma and Louise? Yes. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that. Do they have little guns attached to their hips?
That would be cute.
Do they
now,
drive a convertible?
Let it go, Glenn. Just let it go. All right,
she brought it up.
What percentage of silver? Okay, what percentage of silver is in a German or nickel silver bit? And we'll give you within like 20%.
What's that?
Well, I'll give you like a 10% swing either way.
Okay. Let's say 30%. Aww.
Actually, they're zero. They don't use any silver in a silver bit. It's all a lie.
That's right. It is. It's a lie.
It's
that is correct.
Copper,
that's the first time I've ever
nickel.
Lost.
Oh,
is that right?
Every once in a while it has to happen.
I can't win every week. Well, thank you, Regina. We appreciate you giving us a call.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to have to call it quits there today. We have a lot of other stuff coming up on the show. Thank you for everybody that called in. We're sorry if we didn't get to you this week. Give us a call next week, and we will certainly get back to you. I had to plug my EquityMFG.com shake and fork in the other day because after a couple of months of using it, the batteries were finally winding down. So I had to plug it in, and, boy, I'll tell you what, it makes it so, so much easier. And, you know, we're starting to think a little bit about the holidays now. We're actually starting to plan our holiday shows coming up. There is no more perfect present than giving either Flex-A-Fork or a Shaken Fork from Equity. How many of our listeners, Jamie, did we hear about from last year that actually got asked for these forks and got them for the holidays? And the nice part is they're going to use them every day for the next 10 years. This is a gift that truly does keep on giving because they're going to use it all the time. Why give them something that's going to be gone in a month and they're not going to use ever again or they're going to eat or whatever? This is the one that truly does keep on giving. And, you know, you're talking $75 for the Flex and Fork, which is the one that doesn't shake. And it's $75. You're going to buy – it'll last you longer than 10 of the ones that $30 that break every 2 weeks. So you might as well just get it. It's going to last you a long time. And they are the best manure forks out there. Go to EquityMSG.com and start thinking about the holidays.
I think we should have Chad do one of the commercials because he, you know, these are, this is going to be, a great gift. I'm sorry, it is, for your horse husband, because he doesn't mind cleaning the stalls right now. And it's because, I swear, it's because he's got the flexing fork. He just scoops it all up, throws it away, and it's so much better than those wooden-handled, crappy, junky ones. It's got a suspension system. It's easier to clean the stalls. So if you don't have one, buy one. Even if you don't want to give it to him as a Christmas present, just have it kind of sitting outside, and trust me, your stalls will get clean with a lot less complaints, I'm telling you. EquityMFG.com, and thank you for playing the EquityMFG.com Wheel Up Trivia.
Well, let's take a break for Back on Track Products, our title sponsor for today. And when we come back, I have a list for you. I know you're a big lip balm person, aren't you? You use lip balm chapstick all the time, right?
Yeah, but I call it chapstick. Everything is chapstick. It's like Kleenex, you know, you just chapstick.
But you're addicted. I mean, you use this every day, all day. I know, because
I've
hung out with you, and you do.
He complains that every time I go, you know, through the checkout line, I always buy chapstick. And he complained all the time, like, well, you have to buy another one. I'm like, because I use them. And his friend actually said to him, listen, dude, so she's got an addiction to chapstick. My wife has an addiction to shoes. So you're a lot better off.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yes.
Yours costs $1. And
mine costs $1. Hers are $100.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to give you the 20th strangest lip balm flavors, and these are actually for sale today. So you might want to look into some of these, Jamie. We'll be right back after Back on Track.
We are sitting here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and thank you so much for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah.
But since we have you here, we wanted to talk a little bit about the mesh sheet. Why don't you tell us why it's important for right now, because the cooler weather's coming up, and tell everybody a little bit about it.
Our mesh sheet is one of the most bestseller we have, I should say. It really makes a big difference on the horses, and it's not just for horses who have a problem. I used to call it the nightly massage for the increased blood circulation, keep the muscle loose, and all the riders say pretty much the same thing. At the horses feel like they're warmed up in 20 minutes before when they start warming up. So the warm-up time is a lot shorter.
So do you wear the sheet overnight, or is it just you put it on for...
Overnight is the best result. The more you have it on, the better your result. Of course, in the summer, it's too tough, but then they use it like 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after.
Now, what is so magical about it?
Well, we have a Weltex material, and what I do, they reflect your own body. Warm back like a foreign for a rare, some increased blood circulation. And, you know, that helps to reduce inflammation in muscle joints. Yeah.
It solves lots of problems.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a product that lasts along the blanket last. You can never wash it out. It's melted in the thread. So it's an affordable product, too, if you compare to a lot of other therapeutic blankets out there.
So if they lay down on it, they stain it, they get it muddy, you can throw it in the washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. But it's more like indoor. It's not outdoor. We always say
right. Indoor.
People put it under their turnout blanket, but we always say it's indoor products.
Okay. Okay. Well, that is the mesh sheet from Back on Track. It's backontrackproducts.com. Thank you very much, Bo.
Thank you.
Well, you can also follow them on Facebook. Just search for Back on Track Products. You can find them over there. Well, Jamie, all right, so we got this list. This was put out by BuzzFeed. I love BuzzFeed. It's one of my favorite websites. I go there all the time. Sort of like the Horse Nation for the regular world. And they came out, I want to see how many of these you have, because I know you've bought a lot of different flavors of lip balm over the years. So these are the 20 of the wildest ones. Are you ready? We've got number one, French fry lip balm.
Oh, my God. Gross. greasy. Gross.
They do sell it. It is for sale, French fry lip balm, and it comes with a little side of ketchup. No, it doesn't. Actually, I made that up. The second one is pizza lip balm.
See, these are going to be lip balms that would give me an eating disorder, because I'd get too hungry and then I would blow up to 300 pounds because I would put pizza on my lips and then I'm like, I need pizza.
You couldn't have the pizza one anyway because you're a vegetarian, and the pizza one does have the flavor of pepperoni built into it.
Oh,
so
gross.
So the pizza one's out for you. All right, the next one kind of, Jennifer's probably throwing up over there, because when we met, I was playing the town crier at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and Jennifer was playing the pickle wench. And she would walk around doing disgusting things with dill pickles with people. And she really cannot look at dill pickles to this day. And the third one is dill pickle lip balm. So,
oh, stocking stuffer for Jennifer.
Yeah. Dill pickle lip balm. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound good at all. All right, the next one, this will be coming up. This will be prevalent in right after the holidays as we're coming into April. Marshmallow Peep lip balm. Yes, the Marshmallow Peep people do make a lip balm.
Yummy.
Probably just tastes sugary, right?
What do marshmallow peeps taste like?
What's that?
What do marshmallow peeps taste like? You can't say they taste like anything.
Like, they kind of taste like marshmallows.
Yeah. Kind of marshmallowy, sugary tasting. By the way, you can buy that at Amazon for $1.77. The Sierra Nevada lip balm, which I'm not a beer drinker, so I didn't know about this, but apparently there's a beer by that name, and they make a lip balm that's beer flavored.
I thought Sierra Nevada was dirt flavored.
No, it's not the mountain range. It's have you had some Sierra Nevada beer, Jamie?
Yes, I have had Sierra Nevada beer, and I would probably really like that chapstick, although I think that probably who would like that is all the men around you, is that they want to get up in your face and get some of that beer on your mouth.
By the way, that's more expensive. That's $7.98 for a lip balm. And
that's
more than a six-pack. I know. I love the description. You can relive all your college hookups without the 4 a.m. bathroom pilgrimage. The next one up I would like, and I think Jennifer would try this, but Jamie's going to throw up, and that's the bacon lip balm, bacon-flavored lip balm. You can deceive your morning cup of coffee into thinking it was part of a real breakfast for $5 at baconfreak.com, which I didn't know about, and I had to go to it. They truly do sell about 1,000 different things that have bacon in it. So I need to get them as a sponsor on this show. Jamie would love that. Baconfreak.com. How about Kids Cereal Lip Balm? And they have Frankenberry, Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Trix, Lucky Charms. They have them all.
I think that when I was pregnant, I ate every one of those. All I did was eat kids' cereals when I was pregnant. That was my super addiction. Oh, my God.
So it wasn't dill pickles.
No, it was like Fruity Pebbles, which really, now that I've had some after pregnant, it tastes like pebbles with sugar on them. So it's disgusting. So, yes, I would probably love that.
And by the way, you can find these. I found the most cool websites reading this list. You can find these. They're $2.22, a lot cheaper than the beer one, at stupid.com. And by the way, at stupid.com, they have a lot of fun stuff at stupid.com. So,
okay, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. Next one, wasabi lip balm. Oh, can't even imagine that. Oh,
lovely.
Anyway, $2.99 at perpetualkid.com. Now, this one has been discontinued because she's had a little bit of an issue lately. This was put out by Paula Deen, the butter lip balm. And it's been discontinued. They're no longer making it because Paula's having a little trouble. So
she's in trouble.
Don't go look for that one. Number 10, buttered popcorn lip balm.
Yeah, I've tried that one. I've tried
that
one.
Did you? It probably wasn't good, was it?
No, I don't really like it. But it kind of reminds you of those buttered popcorn jelly beans.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, yeah, and they weren't very good either.
Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome.
Jennifer liked them. Jennifer likes anything to do with popcorn. This one you can find for $3.99 at stupid.com. All right, so far you've had one. I know you haven't had the next one. Corn dog lip balm.
Ew, gross.
$3.49 at perpetualkid.com. Now I love the next one. And all of you bronies out there, you're going to be buying this one up. Unicorn farts lip balm. Put out.
I want that one.
Put out by Long Winter Farm. So you can look that one up. Unicorn Farts Lip Balm. How about Sriracha Lip Balm? Isn't that the really spicy stuff?
Hot pepper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's $4.99 at stupid.com. You're going to love the next one, and everybody in Hawaii probably has tried this one. Spam lip glaze.
Ew.
Gross. Jennifer actually eats spam occasionally. She voluntarily. Sorry,
ew, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
Next 15, you probably like this one. I love these things. Can't have many more because of my diet. Cheez-It lip balm made by the Cheez-It people.
Yummy. I would love that.
Does it make your lips orange?
It probably does. It makes your finger orange. Why doesn't it make your lips orange, right? The new color. The next one has to be absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure they sell it at every rest stop along every highway, and that is Cinnabon lip balm.
Oh, I'd eat the whole lip balm stick. I might just take a bite of it.
Nacho lip balm made by the Nacho people. That's also that's available at funslurp.com for $2.95. Along the same lines, Cheetos lip balm put out by the Cheetos people. I'm not a big Cheetos fan. I'd rather have the Cheez-Its than Cheetos.
Oh, but that one will make your lips your lips orange, your fingers orange, everything orange.
The teeth orange.
Betty Crocker has one that I would certainly try. Fudge brownie lip balm. What could be wrong with that?
You'd eat it.
$3.99 at stupid.com. All right, the last one, and I don't like these, and I'm probably the only one in America, and I'm probably going to lose a lot of crap for this, too. I don't like Girl Scout cookies, and they make Girl Scout cookie lip balm.
Oh, Tagalong, Samoas, Thin Mints.
They have them all, actually. All the ones you just mentioned are part of them, and I just don't like Girl Scout cookies. I never did. And by the way, it's $9.95. But you get four of them. So,
well, that's a deal. That's a good deal.
Yeah. At GirlScouts.com. So you can buy your Girl Scout lip balm right there. So there's the 20 weird flavors. Now, Jennifer had an even weirder one that she's actually bought and used. Tell us about it, Jennifer.
Well, it's called chicken poop.
What?
It's not chicken poop
flavor, really. But it's chicken poop. Yeah. It's called chicken poop lip balm.
Gross. Gross. I've had the like 7-Up and Sprite and like those, like Coca-Cola as a lip balm, you know, sometimes. I've had those, but nothing beats the bacon flavored.
No, I think that would be the best one on the list. I really am going to spend some time on that website today.
I'm addicted to this website already. This is bad. I'm going to do some shopping on stupid.com.
It is fun, isn't it? They have some really weird stuff. I mean,
they have a whole section called Zombie and Unicorn, where you can shop zombie stuff or unicorn stuff.
And it is that time of year, so keep it in mind.
It is.
All right, let's go to our next segment. We have coming up we had a chance with Helena yesterday for the Stable Scoop Show to interview and spend some time with Darlie Newman, who's been on our show here many times. She is the host of Equitrekking on PBS, a 3-time Emmy winner. And she has a new project out that I thought the morning show listeners would really enjoy. It involves trail riding and mapping all the trails across the country. So I thought it'd be fun to take a listen to that interview. That'll be followed up by our daily song, which is Hey Day by Jared Rogerson. And then we'll be back with thehorse.com a little bit later in the show. But take a listen. I think you're going to enjoy this little chat we had with Darlie. This was Helena and I. Well, back with us, we have Darlie Newman of Equitrekking fame. And she, on her desk, has all 27 of her Emmys. Is it 27 yet, or is it?
Well, it's only three,
only three.
Hey, we take pride in it, so.
I bet. You should. Where do you keep them?
Actually, Greg houses them, our photographer. He has a mausoleum in his home in New Jersey dedicated to Emmy Pride, and with photos from the events, and they're all kind of there in the living room. It would be like putting it on your fireplace, but there's like a whole desk devoted to them. So
you tell Greg that we want a picture posted on our Stable Scoop Facebook page.
Of the
shrine, of the Emmy shrine. Okay, we want a picture. Post on our Facebook page. Don't forget, okay?
I will.
All right.
That's funny.
We want to see the Equitrekking shrine. Hey, we don't know anybody else that's ever won an Emmy, so not at least anybody that'll come on a show with us. So you're what we got, Darley.
We love it.
You're pretty darn good, girl.
Thanks, guys.
So, but we're not here to talk about, Equitrekking. You got a new project that you're working on that we want to talk about. Tell us about it.
Well, we actually just launched this new project, and it's getting some great feedback, the 50-State Trail Riding Project. So, I mean, you guys know I travel all over the place and ride, and not just internationally, but throughout the U.S., but, you know, we're trying to collect as much information on great places to ride so that other people can go out and do the same thing. Because, as you guys know, it's an issue keeping trails open to equestrians and keeping land open so people can ride. So we're highlighting great places to ride across the USA, and these are favorite trails submitted by, you know, you, the equestrian community. Anybody who wants to can submit an article, and we're highlighting it on Equitrekking. We're putting it out through social media. And we're talking to organizations across the country, backcountry horsemen, horse councils, and getting them to spread the word so that we're all aware of getting out there and trail riding, because the more we get out there and ride, the more that we can keep those trails open to equestrians.
That's the holy grail for horse people, isn't it?
It is. Well, and the thing is, like, what I think is so interesting, too, is there's so many different places. We've had articles starting to come in, and I've been surprised at the different places that you can ride that I didn't know about, which I think is great, but also the diverse terrain and landscapes. People send in pictures. We just posted an article from Kansas, and, you know, it's true. When you think of Kansas, you think of flatland or rolling plains. Well, gosh, if you look at this article and you see the photos, you would just be surprised. There's, like, canyons and beautiful grasslands, and then, I mean, I was rolling hills. It was amazing. I was like, wow, that's all in Kansas. And people are going out there. This is a state park. They're trail riding. I just think it's cool. I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm getting surprised. I think other people will be surprised, and more people will be able to travel around and find these trails on their own.
Half the listeners just went, you mean it's not just one big, great big cornfield?
I know. You think of those wide open prairies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know, a cornfield is fun in its own right.
Hey, that is. Delving through that is pretty nice, right?
Well, yeah, I rode up through a hunter pace 2 weeks ago, and there was this awesome little route through what was sort of like, I don't know, it was maybe like an 8-foot wide path through the cornfields. It was great, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of activity in those cornfields. Little critters moving about.
Oh. Yeah, you know, that's something that's interesting, too, and I think people that ride horses spot that maybe and see it differently than other people. Like, I've been riding places, and you really see a lot of the bugs and things that are out there, too. I mean, especially if you're, like, stopped for a little bit or you get off your horse, you're like, wow, look at all the activity on the ground.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think other people, like, notice it as much, but I think it's really neat. And you're like, oh, I'm glad to be riding through here, right?
Yeah, totally glad. My horse was like, I don't know, he was giving it the hairy eyeball. He had, you know, he was bent in that way they bend when they're not too keen on whatever's running.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And there are little things that are geographic in nature. Like if you're riding in Florida, like if you went out, Jennifer went out on a hunter pace on Sunday, and one of the things you learn in Florida is you never, ever this time of year want to be the first group out. Because, and they fight not to be the first group out, and the reason is we have banana spiders. And banana spiders make the longest webs you've ever seen, and they go from the trees to the ground. So when you're out riding, you get completely covered in these sticky spider webs if you're the first group through. So you never want to be the first group through.
That's really interesting. Now, you just made me think of another topic. How interesting to kind of highlight what to watch out for when you travel to different states to ride. Watch out for those banana spider webs in Florida.
Oh, they're awful. They really are awful.
That's interesting. interesting. See, I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
And it's this time of year. It's from August, September, October, when they're the worst, and then they'll start to die off. So we pretty much do not ride in the forest this time of year because you can't get through. I mean, it's just, they're nasty. Now
that's what you need to invent. You need to invent something that you can shield, like the front of your,
you know, the horse,
your
that
area
attaches
the
to
horse.
The horse's head. Hey, I'm looking at one of the articles here. I'm on your website at Equitrekking, and this was my favorite horseback rides in Delaware. So these are the articles that you're talking about. And I'm looking at the lady wrote this, Mary Everhart, and I'm looking at her, the author getting ready to ride in Blackbird State Forest. And this author has to be your size, Helena, maybe 5'3".
Oh, yeah, her
and
horse.
That, you know exactly where I'm going with this. She rides a percheron that has to be 18 hands tall. I mean, it's huge. It's
I love it. And she goes everywhere, too. She's already written a couple articles for us because Mary Everhart is out on the trails. And I was so excited to get one from Delaware, too. That is the one we wanted to get first because I know nothing about riding in Delaware. It's such a small state, and I just didn't think about I was like, where do they even ride in Delaware? But they ride on beaches. They, you know, go out to these beautiful trails that are wooded, and they have changing leaves and everything. I mean, it looks great. I was like, now I want to go to Delaware.
She does ride a huge horse. It must weigh in at a ton. She is the chairman of the Delaware Equine Council and the Trails Committee. And who knew that they even had one? So, I mean, there you go.
Well, you know, every state has their own horse council. A lot of states have an active backcountry horseman community. I mean, especially like in North Carolina, we got a submission from Deidre, who's with the horse council there. And she does a lot of, like, active work, kind of cleaning up trails and keeping trails open. But she's one that's with backcountry horsemen or women. And
horse people.
Yes. And I, you know, I spoke last year at the Southeastern Trails Conference, and I was able to meet a lot of people from, you know, all these different organizations across the country, but a lot of people from backcountry horsemen, which is, you know, now an organization that we're kind of investigating more with Equitrekking and going to write about that as well. But they are just doing a great job out there of just really working to build awareness and keep the trails open. But a big thing in general is there are not enough young people getting out there to ride. Like, who's the next generation that's going to be out there on our trails? So hopefully, you know, through social media and other ways that, you know, us talking about it now, we can get some more people interested that are maybe in the younger generation to want to get out there and trail ride.
Absolutely. It would be great to get pony clubbers involved in this kind of thing because, you know, the pony club programs get the kids riding outside of the ring. I'm working with my own daughter now that she can walk trot canter safely. You know, it's time to put them outside of the arena and start to teach them how to survive out there on the trails, but then to develop an appreciation for what it means to be able to, you know, gallop out cross country. Is there any, you know, do you see any type of link or liaison with the pony club organization?
I just wrote it down because I thought about them the other day and I was like, I need to reach out to them too. I have a master list going and I'm trying to reach as many people as possible, but that's a great idea. Well, it would be nice to have some younger people writing as well about their favorite places. I mean, I would love to get some of those just because, you know, we actually have a lot of people that write for Equitrekking that do different riding vacations and travel around, but there's not as many young people, and maybe that's because they're writing their homework instead. But
so what do you want our listeners to do? What can they do?
Well, you know, we're asking people if you have a place that you love to trail ride or a place that you want to share. Obviously, some people don't want to share it because they're like, then everyone will be there. But, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. But it would be great if they wanted to contact me, contact through the website, go on our Facebook page or wherever and let us know. And we're happy to have a submission from you and write about it. So
does it have to be the whole state? Like you have to do a bunch of different trails, or if you got a favorite one in a state, you can write about it?
You can pick one or more. Okay. I mean, if you just have one, obviously that's fine. That's great. So anyone out there who wants to contribute and share your favorite trail and highlight something that you think is a great place to ride, we're happy to have it and share it with other people.
Do you have any in Rhode Island? Do you have a lot of trails for horseback riding in Rhode Island? There's another small state.
Yeah, on the mainland, you know, and in the rest
out.
Of the
world. Yeah, I mean, we're reaching out to organizations in every state. So Rhode Island is one that I don't know if we've heard back from yet. But, hey, if you're out there for Rhode Island, let us know, because that's another one where it's like Delaware for me. I had a question mark on that one, too. I was like, I want to see what's going on.
Well,
there,
you got a beach you could throw in there, Helena.
There's absolutely a beach. There's a lot of – the problem with Rhode Island is that there are a lot of great places to ride, but they're mostly private.
Private, yeah.
So there's that legal issue, which is where organizations like the Equine Land Conservation Group,
right.
they can actually help. And then organized efforts like this. So, there's a lot of places in the country, I think, that they don't realize they have this land, they have this space, but there's really no one knocking on their door to say, can we ride through? And here's the infrastructure that will keep everybody safe when we do so. You know, you kind of have to sit down with people and explain and educate them and be really clear about what it means to have groups of riders, ride through private land. And also, too, though, to ride through public land. It's just like you kind of have to reinvent the wheel every time you sit down with somebody who is the gatekeeper for land.
And I wish it wasn't so complicated, but that's what we have to deal with. I mean, and you're right, the ELCR, they have so many great resources and so much good information for these types of issues. I think it's great. I mean, and then you look at public lands right now. It's funny because I was just looking at some of the Kansas State Park websites, and they're like, we are open for riders right now, because a lot of national parks and places, as you know, are closed.
Right,
We got a shutdown going on, kids, and it's still happening. So it's interesting. But, yeah, it's a huge issue, and I think just the more people that can get out there, there's so many people that are so active in it, which I think is so great across the USA. So hopefully we can spur some more interest with this project.
Where can people go?
They can go to equitrekking.com. We've got a new section on our site for the 50 State Trail Riding Project. By tomorrow, we'll have another new article up from New York. So excited to post that. And please, if anyone out there has any cool trails they want to highlight, we're happy to share it with everybody out there.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson in Heyday, and before that we had Darlene Newman from Equitrekking. And you can find all of Jared Rogerson's music at jaredrogerson.com. You are listening to Horses in the Morning, and I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and also Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. And next up is the Horse.com segment, and it is brought to you by Horseside Vet Guide. Horseside Vet Guide is a brand new app developed with your horse's health in mind. Created by an expert in equine veterinary medicine with over 20 years of experience, Horseside Vet Guide helps you determine how to best resolve an equine health care problem. Far more than a mobile first aid app, Horseside Vet Guide contains an extensive list of observations, skills, how-to videos, veterinary diagnostics, and treatments, and so much more. This has now, Jamie, been the most highly reviewed horse app in history. So
it's
it
everywhere.
It has a ton of reviews. People are loving the thing. So go find it. Search the app store. It's iOS only right now, but they're going to have it in Android here very shortly. So it's Horseside Vet Guide, and they're proud sponsors the Horse.com segment.
It's good to read. It's like having your veterinarian there and just being able to ask any question or questions you don't even think of. You can just read it. It's really awesome. So if you haven't seen it, Horseside Vet Guide, you just go for search for it in your app store. Hey, we're talking about lameness today with thehorse.com, and actually it's body lameness, and this is so perfect that we're going to be talking about it, but we do have some time to kill before Dr. Jones gets here. She's actually on a call right now, but we can say good morning to Michelle.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have a body lame horse?
You know, I was riding Jet yesterday, and it's been a while. You know, I had a couple days off since I was out of town this past weekend, and I don't know if this is body lame or not, but he just doesn't move to the same way each direction. To the right, he moves incredibly well, even though he's got arthritis in his right hind hock, and you know, I have to get injections in that pretty regularly to keep him sound. But moving to the left, it's like his shoulders, and Glenn, this is probably, you know, too detailed for you. You probably don't care, but Michelle rides, and it's like his shoulders don't move to the right from the left as they do from the right to the left. Do you know what I mean? Or from the left to the right.
Yeah, no, that's tough. And Dr. Jones will be talking to us today about, you know, kind of figuring that stuff out, because it's so tricky. Because as riders, we feel it, but sometimes, you know, you really can't see it, or it's just something that's just not quite right. But I have a solution, though. If you have a lame horse, especially one that's been lame for a year and a half, and you want it to go sound, the solution is buy a two-year-old.
Oh, no. So you had a lame horse forever, and you've been very frustrated, to recap everybody. And so you actually went horse shopping, took your trailer with you, and bought a two-year-old.
Yes, and and my mid-level dressage horse has not taken a lame step since she showed up. I don't know if he's just showing off for her, or if he is just like, put me back in, coach.
Well, he's probably
sound.
Like, oh crap, they replaced me, they're going to shoot me, I better prance around like a youngster.
He's like, look at my lengthenings, look at my extensions, So that is my solution. So now I have, Anyway, dilemma, horse dilemma. At least I have room for three horses.
Well, and that's the good thing is your dilemma is actually better than the alternative, which is everybody's lame or everybody's sound. So you know, don't get down on yourself for that. I mean, you're quite lucky.
No, I am, and it looks like my dressage horse is gonna go back to work. So. Anyway, but I'm loving having the two-year-old. That's so much fun. I forgot about how much fun two-year-olds are and how little they know. everything new.
Jamie's learning that with the human form right now.
Absolutely, Glenn. Chad was just saying last night, he's like, everything is brand new for this baby. It's so fun. Even if they've seen it before, they totally forgot about it. Everything is new. Every day.
It sounds just like a two-year-old horse.
Yes, exactly. Now, what are some of the things that you are taking for granted that you're reminded, like tying or leading, or what are
leading,
some of the things that are...
Leading, going through gates, you know, opening the gates and navigating that with other horses. The feeding manners, you know, how to behave properly when you're having your feed delivered. You know, little things like I put leg wraps on her for the first time, polo wraps, and she was great for the wrapping, but it was the pulling them off she thought was weird.
So, yes.
The Velcro, she's like, woo! But she's such a good baby that she didn't, you know, do anything naughty, but she's just surprised by it. You know, she'll go with, especially the warm-blood babies, it seems like the breeders chase them around a lot to make them trot for videos. And so she'll
right.
go on the lunge line, but she won't necessarily stop on the lunge line. So,
yeah.
So we're learning, whoa.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I think too, part of the frustration of that is you just get so comfortable around your own horses that yeah, going through a gate and they run you down is you know, all of a sudden like what? But I would like to ask you, how are you teaching your horses to behave for dinner? Because that's one thing I have never figured out. All my horses go crazy when I start to make their feed. How do you have a system for that?
I have an expectation that when I deliver their feed, whether it's over the fence or I go in with them, depending on what I'm doing, I just expect to be safe and not to be rushed and not to have ears pinned at me, and they don't get their feed until they make happy faces and back off. So,
are you available for training or farm sitting?
it's my one and only gift with horses is being able to feed them safely. You know, when I was a kid, I had a horse that was a big bully when you'd feed him, and I figured out a system for it. But I'm very nice about it. But I do. I expect, you know, I figure I'm feeding you. I spent a lot of money on this hay. The least you can do is put your ears forward and look happy and not paw and pin your ears at me. So
I think part of the problem is I have three horses here that were starvation cases.
Yeah, so
and
they
I
really
think
are
you
curious.
They just get crazy. Jet gets crazy. Like, he starts running circles in his stall. And unfortunately, we don't go in with him because we have the pipe rail fencing. But, with Joey, he paws so much that he was digging a hole to China right in front of his bucket. So I actually had to get some rubber mats and put him underneath his stall because he gets so crazy with food. Edward just stands in the back of the stall with his butt towards you like, I'm just waiting. And he doesn't kick or anything. He's actually probably one of the better behaved ones, but he doesn't face you, which is kind of frustrating when you have to go in and put some food in there. So I think with the three horses that I've had that have been hungry, it's almost no hope for them. But the
yeah, I was
going
to, Jamie, I wanted to ask you about that because my pony, who was obviously starved, is so food motivated about everything that involves food. I mean, treats, everything. That never goes away, huh?
Jet is the way that I trained him was through food because he was so angry and he was so he had the opposite. He was not appreciative of anything and still really isn't. But the horse will stand stock still as a statue if you have a peppermint wrapper in your pocket when you're mounting. And he will not move and then until what we call it is we say we got to put the token in the machine for the ride. You know, you gotta give him a peppermint before he'll actually go anywhere, which is kind of annoying too. He would jump a fence and I'd give him a treat. And to me, like, it's made him so much more willing to do stuff. Again, because he was hungry and he was so angry, it gave him a reason to look forward to doing stuff. He doesn't get them when he's in the cross ties because then they get a little piggy in the cross ties. But, you know, it just makes it a little bit easier when they have been hungry and they they're distrustful, if they're angry, you know, just anything to brighten up the day of a horse that's had a lot of bad ones, to me, is worth it.
Yeah. Well, and the treats are another thing that my two-year-old didn't know what that was. So I went out with carrots, and she just looked at it like, and then spit it out.
What are these?
Now
I don't want
these.
Now
she loves them.
Yeah, they'll figure that one out.
What is that? What is that? Yeah, no, she figured it out once the other horses, when she saw they were getting treats, she was like, wait a second. And but now she, you know, she had to learn how to take a treat without taking my thumb. So lots of little lessons. These are the foundation years, right?
Well, Michelle, we have about another minute for Dr. Jones yet, so she'll be with us in just a second.
Okay.
I think she was on a call.
So my neighbor's going to think I'm nuts because another horse showed up out in my paddocks.
What happened?
You know,
I actually said three, but I actually now, right now I have four, but it's temporary. So one of the horses, because I used to be a therapeutic riding instructor, and there was a horse in the program, a young halflinger, that I loved him. He just is really cool horse, and he was there even after I left, and he was there for several more years. And sometimes therapy horses just get to the point where they're like, nah, I don't dig this job anymore. I'd like to do something different. And so he had gone back to his owners, and she is moving to Arizona, and so she was looking for a home for him. And so I bought him for my parents.
What?
I did. I went and got him, and so he's here until he makes his transport up to Seattle, but it is fun having the halflinger around. I don't know if you guys have had experience with them, but they're just fun little horses.
I started a halflinger for a farm when I lived up in Ohio and had just the most fun starting that horse, because they're kind of a little bit slow, but they're like puppies. They're so happy to be here. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, okay,
right.
I'll try that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You want, wait, trot forward? Oh, okay. You know, they have such nice little attitudes as far as trying to learn something, and they're comfortable as a couch, man. They're pretty awesome to ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been putting some fitness on him. He's a little chunky right now, and you know, trotting around. They're just the kind of horses that make your heart happy when you ride them. Like, it's like, wow, this is just fun. This is like being a little girl on a pony, especially he has this long double mane, and, you know, with the long white mane that they have, and it's just so cute. I'm like, oh, man, I have to send you away now.
The other breed that's like that is about the same size as the Fjords. I've had some experience with Fjords that were used for driving, and they're really cool little horses. They really are.
I love Fjords.
You know what?
Yeah.
Michelle, just when the truck comes, just go ahead and put that two-year-old on it. Send that on up to your mom.
Yeah, keep the other one.
Say, here you go, Dad. Have fun.
Yeah.
So, but I have to say, because I'm 35 now, and I cannot believe how concerned my parents are about me having a two-year-old horse. Like, they are very, very concerned about the safety of a two-year-old horse. Young horses.
You know what?
You
what's really sad? What's really sad is I'm 35 and my parents could care less. So, either way.
And here I was going to say, you're always their little girl. And apparently that's not true in Jamie's case. It's like, get her the hell out. But
the only time my dad was pissed was when he came to visit when I was pregnant and I was riding. And he's like, no, you're going to hurt my grandson. Not, you're going to hurt your own self. No, you're going to hurt my grandson.
All right. She's here, so let me do the formal opener here.
Okay.
It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Right, it is time for the weekly Horse Health Report brought to you by Horseside Vet Guide. We have Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com with us, and Dr. Jones of Florida Equine. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Well,
Hi, Dr. Jones.
I was just telling Michelle about this before we got started, that this is always the perfect timing when you talk about certain things and they just happen to be going on in your own horse's life. And we're going to talk today about body lameness. And I was just telling Michelle that, you know, when I'm riding my event horse and we're doing some dressage, last night I started to notice that, you know, his hind end is pushing off nicely, but his shoulders don't seem to be going where I want them to go. And to one direction, like going to the left, his shoulders are just very stiff and very tight. And I almost feel like if this continues, I'm going to have to get somebody out to assess him. So it's going to be interesting to hear what you guys have to say. Good morning, Dr. Jones.
Good morning. Well, I'm sorry if we talk about lamenesses and your horse is lame, or we talk about eye problems and your horse has an eye problem. It's not the goal of our talk. We're just trying to prevent problems.
But Jamie brings up a really great example of these body lamenesses that are just so frustrating as riders and owners. And I'm thinking they might be kind of frustrating for vets, too, to figure out what's going on. And so my first question was going to be, you know, Dr. Jones, can you give us an example of body lameness? But Jamie gave us a good one. Do you have anything to add there, Dr. Jones?
Absolutely. That's a lot of the histories we get for these horses that might have a body lameness. But please, right off the bat, I want to tell you, because it's a little hill for me to climb as well as many other veterinarians, 80% of lamenesses are in the feet of the horse. So we will start at the foot if we have not started with the foot previous. We will start down in the foot, and I know I could just feel the client saying it behind me. I told her it was in the shoulder. What's she doing looking at the foot? But because the foot does take a lot of concussion and a lot of wear and tear, and 80% of our lamenesses are in the foot, we usually will start there, work our way up.
It does seem like everybody always thinks that the lameness is in the horse's shoulder, and you're right. A lot of times it's right in the foot. I think, though, my situation is a little different because I'm riding him and it feels different, but you're right. Everybody always goes, I think it's in the shoulder. Why do they do that?
Well, no, I mean, it looks like it's in the shoulder, and I'm not saying that yours isn't. I'm just saying that if the vet comes out and still goes to the foot, even blocks the foot out. And a lot of times what I'll do, because there's two blocks we do in the feet. One is for the heel and the sole, and one takes the whole foot out. A lot of times I'll skip the first one, the heel and sole, and I'll go straight to just let's block the foot before we get too far. It's simple, easy, you know, want to make sure, and the horses still don't go sound. And then you are working your way to the shoulder. And that's what we need to do without missing steps. So your example is a fantastic example. Another one for me would be horses having a hard time turning left or a hard time turning right. And they'll actually get up in the horse physically, and, you know, we'll lunge it, and it lunges both ways beautifully. And I'm like, okay, that's what they said. Then they pop up on their horse riding, and you always want to make sure that you let your vet know you're probably going to have to ride the horse so they can make enough time to evaluate. So they pop up on the horse to ride, and they can ride nicely to the right, but the horse won't go to the left as nicely. And then you're like, okay, I think we're looking at something higher up in the horse, not down in the foot, not down, you know, below the knee or below the hock. And those are the ones that really start giving us some problems, because as we get higher up, and I know this is a later question for you, Michelle, as we get higher up, it's harder for us to block or numb the area and them to feel better and move out and say, oh, I numbed it to the high shoulder, I numbed it to the neck, I numbed it to the back, I numbed it, you know, because we can't. If we numb those areas, you're probably numbing the spinal cord area, and the horse will go down. So when you get high up like that, it becomes a bit difficult for the veterinarians.
I have some experience with a couple horses where, like, it seemed like their shoulder was bothering them, but it was actually like caudal heel pain or maybe a navicular type issue down in the foot, and then they were compensating in the shoulder and going, oh, ouch. Is that something that you see, or am I making that up?
Oh, no. That's very common for us to see. But again, it's a very simple nerve block to just block the entire foot. And see, you're saying, you know, caudal heel pain. If I would skip that block and I'd go to just blocking the whole foot out to make sure it's foot or shoulder, all of a sudden the horse goes beautiful. I'm like, oh, we skipped the heel. So either I need to come back at a different date when this nerve block wears off and just block the heel to see and localize it. Is it in the heel? And that's really the better way to do it. Or we just try to shoot from the hip and start taking x-rays of the foot and ultrasounding the foot and helping the client out with that. But, that can happen. And if we jump a couple nerve blocks, you want to be certain that you either have time to come back at a different day and localize it to a little better area.
Okay. And so once you've kind of ruled out the foot and the leg and you're moving up the body, what diagnostic options do you have for up higher?
Well, I'll have to say, and Jamie, you might have somebody out there to help you out with something like this, having the chiropractic education and the acupuncture education experience can help you out with looking at something a little higher up in the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a horse, very interesting case, where the lady said, I can't get the horse now to move forward. And we had trotted out this horse a couple times in the back end, did some flexions, and it was off in the back end. We decided not to go through nerve blocks. She said, you know, the horse has been, you know, 8 months since the last hock injections. Let's go ahead and do that. And I said, that's fine. That's a good option. And that way you can continue to ride the horse, because she was showing the horse. And so we did the hock injections. And the horse seemed a little bit better in the hind end, but then started refusing to move up front and kicking out. And we had talked about at one time before, this horse had a very sore back, and we treated it with some Robaxin. You could palpate the muscle, and the horse would drop to the ground. I said, the sore back can't be coming from the hocks, because we just did the hocks. I think you've got a primary spinal issue in the back, and it might be what we call kissing spines. Well, we went out and looked at this horse, and I didn't nerve block it. I did chiropractic, and it seemed okay chiropractic. Acupuncture gave me a few signs, and I said, you know, we could either treat this way, but preferably I'd like to know what I'm treating for, and nuclear scan would be best. Nuclear scans is where they inject a radioactive isotope into the horse's vein. We use it in human medicine for primarily bone cancer, and it circulates to the horse's body, lands in the area where there's high bone turnover, which would be arthritis, fracture, but that's rare that they use it for that, bone cancer, which is very rare in a horse, but mostly for arthritis. We'll see these changes when you have an arthritic area, like the hocks or some sort of cartilage damage in the stifle, something to that effect. This horse lit up like a Christmas tree in the hocks, which we have injected, which was good, and kissing spines in the back, right underneath the saddle, where she was, every time she would ride, the horse would kick out, buck out, but when she put on a lunch line, it would be fine.
So you mentioned,
that's where we're saying is that we have to go to diagnostics that are quite costly, such as a nuclear bone scan.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned saddle. How often does saddle fit or saddle issues have something to do with lameness in the upper body?
It has more to do with, I would say, not a true lameness, but the horse is not jumping well, the horse is not collecting well, the horse is not riding well, that kind of thing. It's not where they're head bobbing, lame limping. Mm-hmm. It's there's something about their training is not going well. And so you'll do a change of saddle. Most of the time it comes from the trainer, because the trainer's like, let me try my saddle on. Rather than doing a true saddle fit, they just attempt to use a different saddle, and the horse does better. So saddle fitting is very, very important. But if that doesn't seem to work out, I think you need to take the step up and call the vet out and start going for the better evaluation, maybe even under saddle evaluation, if the veterinarian's experienced, have the veterinarian look at the saddle and the saddle fit, that kind of thing. Those will save you a lot of headache in the long run, rather than just thinking it's a behavior problem that you have to continue to work the horse through.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the back and kissing spines, arthritis in the spine. What other kind of problem areas are there in the horse's body?
The pelvis area. The nuclear scan is fantastic for the pelvis area. So we get some sacroiliac joint degeneration or arthritis that those horses truly are bucking up and trying to push you out of the saddle. You feel like you're being launched between the ears. But they are moving forward. You've already addressed the whole lower limb, like we talked about a few weeks ago, where you block out the heel and the foot and the origin, the suspensory and the hocks and the stifle, and nothing makes a major change. It's when you go to movement out in the pelvis area and chiropractically and acupuncture, you can find some soreness in that area, and you suggest they do a nuclear scan so they can pinpoint proper treatment in those areas. The other area that's kind of on Jamie's neck, sorry, pardon the pun, neck of the woods, is her horse is having problem up front. And a lot of times you'll find a cervical facet arthritis or lesion that's causing them to not extend forward in the forelimbs. Again, your nuclear scan would be fantastic for picking up any kind of bony changes in the cervical facets that might be affecting.
No. Dr. Jones, mine is saddle fit, okay?
Okay, there you go. The other options, though, you can still use radiography in the neck and ultrasound. You know, your veterinarian should have those tools on their truck, and those that are experienced with doing the ultrasound in the necks and reading radiographs, or at least they can take the radiograph and maybe have a radiologist read their radiographs, just make sure the radiographs are good. A still sedated horse is utmost paramount for those digital radiographs, and the digitals would be far better than conventional when it comes to neck radiographs. And so you can still try to rule out some things on the farm when it comes to the cervical area and the shoulder area, but when it comes to the pelvis, there's really not a whole lot we can do on the farm to do an accurate diagnosis. And a lot of times people will have me out to do chiropractic and acupuncture. And it gives, again, as we discussed last week, it gives a good pain relief, but it may not resolve the problem completely. This lady who had the kissing spines and the hawk problem also had a cervical problem too. We ended up doing a dose of Tildren, which is kind of, that's not FDA-approved product, and this horse is doing fantastic since then. So I'm hoping that she can continue with minimal acupuncture, chiropractic, anti-inflammatory help and continue to ride and enjoy her horse.
Okay. Well, I think that's about it. Jamie, does that help? Or does it just scare you?
Yes, because all I'm going to do is just go change the saddle. You know what?
Yeah, and he's going to be perfect.
I needed a new dressage saddle anyway.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get a phone call from your husband. I can see it now.
Oh, yeah. You're in trouble. No, this is fantastic. You know, like I said, he's had about a week off, and I got on him last night. I was trying to do a little bit of lateral work, and he just wasn't picking his shoulders up from the left and moving them kind of diagonal to the right and not moving off my leg like he normally does. So hopefully, you know, we'll give him a couple of days and see if he works through it, because he has had some time off. And he does have some arthritis and some spots in his body that are pretty severe. So we'll see if that improves it. If not, Dr. Jones, are you available to fly to Phoenix to look at a horse?
I am always up for some good Southwestern Tex-Mex food, so yes, ma'am.
All right.
Keep our fingers crossed for you, Jamie.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And good luck to you, Michelle, with all your 47 horses that are in your backyard.
They'll be fewer soon.
Good. Well, thank you, you guys. Thehorse.com, you can find out more. And Michelle, do you guys have any articles specifically?
Yeah, so we have in the October issue, there's a great article on upper body lameness. So check it out in the print issue, or you can get a digital edition at thehorse.com.
All right, and FloridaEquine.com is where you can find Dr. Jones. You guys, thanks for joining us. And, of course, the Horse.com Weekly Horse Health Report is sponsored by the Horse Side Vet Guide. Check that out in your app stores. It's a great one. Thanks, you guys. Have a great week.
Hey, next up, we have to find out what's coming up on this week's Really Bad Ads. Jennifer.
This week's Really Bad Ads brought to you by Stud Muffins, the ultimate horse treat. From Canter Lane Design, a poster print and note cards custom made by Shelly Renee. Canter Lane Designs offers interior design services along with niche line of home decor items to make your spaces more inspired. The life design style is fresh and eclectic and infused with all things equestrian. From interior barn door hardwarrier, to poster and gifts for the equestrian, Canter Lane is your source when it comes to interior spaces for the horse lover. Having surfed around the Canter Lane Design website many, many times, it is equestrian-inspired interior design for horse people who want to be inspired but not have the interior of their home look like a barn. It's awesome stuff. And from HorseGroomingSolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. PT Cruiser uses horse grooming brands. Southie Hair Care, voted the number one horse health brand by consumers. Silverado Show Grooming and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com.
Very good. And, of course, you send your submissions in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. Send them in today. You have until Thursday evening to get them in for this week. And remember to copy the whole ad and paste it in the email. Do not send a link because the link will be gone by the time we get to it. And don't always get to it the same week. So copy the whole email and paste it in there. We would appreciate that. Well, that's about it for today's show. We hope you enjoyed, and thank you so much for joining us today. It's good to have you back, Janie. We missed you.
Thank you. It's good to be back, and I hope you guys have a great couple days. And we'll talk to you again on Friday morning with another rendition of Really Bad Ads. Have a great day, everybody. Stay neutered and geld.
Don't forget, we'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow, back live on Friday.
I'm addicted to stupid.com now, by the way.
I know, it's a great website, isn't it?
Perfect. The ugly sweater edition is awesome.